Hey, Disney Cruise fans, it's Wes. If you'd like to support the show, please consider booking your next Disney trip with us. We are independent travel agents affiliated with Mickey World Travel, a platinum Disney earmarked agency. Though we specialize in Disney cruises, we book all Disney destinations. We'll help you with all the planning details and make sure you don't miss out on anything important. Of course, if it is a Disney cruise, we'll give you some onboard credit up to $1,000 to spend on your trip. That's free money to spend on whatever you want just for booking with us. Spa treatments, port adventures, merchandise, adult dining experiences. It doesn't cost you anything to work with us, and you'll pay the same as if you booked directly through Disney. So you might as well get some extra spending money to take with you. If you're interested, send me an email at Wes, W-E-S, at MickeyWorldTravel.com. And now, on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 156 of the DCL Dude podcast. My name is Wes, and I don't know if you've noticed lately, but Disney Cruise Line has been putting out lots of marketing material related to Lookout Key. There have been posts on the Disney Parks blog, videos of Imagineers sharing the construction progress, and just in general, lots of buzz surrounding the grand opening of the new destination in just a few short weeks from now. I was recently invited to be a guest on the Lookout Key preview cruise on the Magic that departs from Fort Lauderdale on June 6th, so I was really excited about that. And I'm not sure if I've shared it on the podcast before, but we were originally scheduled for the 7-night, quote, inaugural cruise. I'm not sure why they called it that, because it's not actually the first cruise that's visiting Lookout Key. But we were scheduled for that one. That one was on the Fantasy and had two stops at Lookout Key and a stop at Castaway Key. And when we were originally deciding which cruise to take when the schedules were released last summer, I believe, I was really torn about which one to do, but we liked the 7-night itinerary on the Fantasy a lot better. So despite the fact that it wouldn't technically be the first cruise to visit, that's the one that we chose. Well, for a lot of different reasons, we decided that the preview cruise will actually work better for us. So that's the one that my wife and I will be doing. I really can't wait to see what they've prepared for us, and I'm even more excited to share it with all of you. If you're not already, be sure that you're following my Instagram account, because that's probably where I will be sharing the most. And if you're not booked on a cruise to Lookout Key currently, there are lots of itineraries that will be visiting the new destination over the next, you know, year and a half and beyond. So hopefully you can find something that that works well for you. All right, let's get to this week's episode. One of the ways that I know I am obsessed with cruising is by how much time I spend thinking about it and by how often I'm wishing I was on a cruise. And not a day goes by that I'm not thinking about lounging on a hammock at Castaway Key or sitting by the pool watching my favorite Funnel Vision movie. There is just too much time between my cruise vacations, so it really helps me when I get to talk with other people about their more recent experiences. Fortunately, my guest today has a lot of cruise experience to share with us, and I'm really excited to speak with her. Tammy is the owner of Storybook Destinations. She runs the Instagram account at Cruising with Tammy and was recently named the author of the unofficial guide to Disney Cruise Line for 2025. Really excited to speak with you. Hi, Tammy. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So you have the chance to cruise pretty often, but you probably still feel like there's too much time in between your cruises, right?
It's true. I think even if I go, I went one stretch here recently that was 2 or 3 months, and I was like, oh, what is happening? How have I not been on cruise?
Yeah. So before we get started, I believe you said that I've seen that you or maybe someone in your family has a connection to the U.S. Air Force. Is that right?
Space Force now, actually. Oh, my husband's in the Space Force.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So the reason I asked is because you mentioned you live in Colorado Springs. I have a close personal connection to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I spent most of my early childhood in Southern Colorado, and we used to always go to football games at the Air Force Academy when they were playing either Army or Navy. And my favorite part was always the flyovers. It's an absolutely beautiful campus and just a really fun atmosphere. Have you ever spent any time at the academy?
Actually, my husband graduated from the academy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We met while he was at the academy. So, yes, we spent a lot of time there. Love the football games. We all agree the flyovers are amazing.
Oh, they're the best. Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. So I say on the show a lot when I have guests, I like to hear, I call it sort of people's origin stories. I like to hear kind of how people get to where they are. And so if you wouldn't mind just sharing some of your, some of your background, how did you sort of develop your love of cruising?
Our first cruise was in 2005, first Disney cruise. First cruise was for Disney. And my husband was on an assignment with the military, an unaccompanied assignment. So without us, without me and our two children. And so we decided we needed to see him as much as we could, and we had never done a Disney cruise. We were very intrigued by it. So we planned one where he would fly from Alaska, where he was, to Florida and meet us there, and we'd all cruise, and we invited our whole extended family. And so we had parents, grandparents, cousins, they were all there. It was great. And my husband got off the plane from Alaska. It was February. He got off the plane from Alaska with a giant parka, because it was minus 42, I think, when he left Alaska. It was 70 something in Florida. So we massive temperature swing there.
Yeah.
He didn't need the parka, thankfully. And so we all spent this week. It was a week long Caribbean cruise, and realized how great of a time it was to connect with a multi-gen family. The grandparents had things to do. They could watch movies or take bus tours during the day, whatever they wanted to do. We could go snorkeling all day and spend the day at the beach, and they didn't want to. But every night at dinner, we were all back together. We were sharing stories and connecting with each other, and then afterwards going to the shows together. And we realized it was just a great vacation for our family.
That's awesome. And before that, were you always Disney fans? Like, was that the reason that your first cruise was a Disney cruise?
Actually, our honeymoon was at Disney World. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So very
We've
much.
Always been Disney fans.
Yeah. Right. Sounds good. So I also mentioned at the beginning that you are the owner of a travel agency. How did that all come about? Was that prior to your first cruise, or was that since your first cruise? How did that all get started?
I worked as an agent for about 7 years before I opened Storybook. And we opened in 2014. And we kind of decided, after working for so long, I knew I really enjoyed it. And I decided I wanted to go out on my own and concentrate on the things that I wanted to concentrate on. And so I have 24 agents now, I think. And many of them love to cruise. We just got off. We just had a big, our annual meeting on the Disney Dream last weekend, and it was amazing. And we sell a lot. I mean, we're all Disney lovers. We sell everything, but we started off as Disney lovers, and we sell a lot of Disney cruises. And part of the reasons we sell so many Disney cruises is because we love Disney cruise.
Yeah.
And we kind of have a motto at our agency, and it's we say hashtag be the cruiser. We want to be the cruiser so we can share our experiences, so we understand what it's like. Because I think cruising in particular, even if you love Disney, if you go to the parks all the time, it's a little intimidating the first time.
Sure.
Because it's so different. And so Absolutely. People don't know what to expect. So it's helpful to have somebody that does it and can say, oh, yeah, this is what you want to do here. This is what you want to do here, that has experience. So we make sure we have the experience, but that's not a hard job because we love it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Absolutely. So I guess my big question that I have is, how many cruises have you done? And if you know the Disney ones and then the non-Disney ones, like, that would be awesome. But how many?
55 Disney.
Awesome.
Just crazy even for me to hear. And then I've done, 20 other different lines. So about 75 there. Not quite as firm on that number as I am.
Yeah. And so you have your name on one of the planks at Castaway Key, which is an absolute amazing thing. Like, that to me is like, I don't know, you've made it if you've got your name on one of the planks there. And I think I saw in one of your Instagram posts that it was the most expensive plank or piece of wood that you'll ever, that you'll ever pay for.
Exactly. It wasn't free.
Yeah, right. Did Disney Cruise Line contact you about that? Or was there some sort of process where, they said, if you've done this many cruises, here's how it works.
Yeah, they do. And when they first sent it out, they said, you know, hey, we want to recognize everybody over 50. And now as people pass 50, sometime that quarter, they will get an email from Disney saying, you know, we want to recognize you and your appreciation for Disney Cruise Line and your loyalty. And so they ask exactly what you want your name to say. Do you want it to say Tammy Whiting? Do you want to say the Whiting family? You know, that's up to you. And I jokingly tell my family it's my greatest contribution to our family that I've ever made. So I put all our names on there. Yeah. I put the Whiting family. And you get to pick your little symbol. There are four choices for the symbol there.
Okay. Do you think as more and more people sort of reach that milestone that at some point they'll need to like extend that number out a little bit further? Or do you think they would just add additional, you know, more space for those planks? Yeah,
I feel like they're going to have to just add more space. It's also possible they could start a second wall on Lookout Key.
True.
Too.
Yep.
And then I know that for 75 and 100 cruises, they're starting to send some more appreciation gifts for those. So maybe they'll just keep doing that.
Yeah, gotcha. So you may have already answered this question before, but what's your motivation for cruising so often? Like, what is it about the cruise experience that, you know, keeps you wanting to come back to it versus, you know, just another type of vacation?
Whenever we cruise as a family, it's what I said before. It's, you know, it's being able to do our own thing and still feel like we vacation together. With friends, it's just, you know, I have a group of ladies that I cruise with every September, and we've done it now for 12 years, I think. And it ranges from 20 to 30 of us every year. And we have a great time together. We usually will do a 4-night together. We're going to do the Treasure next year, so it'll be a 7-night. But we do something, and we just, I feel like even if I get on board and I'm running around that first afternoon, like, do we have all the Palo reservations we need? Do we have da da da? I know that within a couple hours, I'm going to relax. I know the next few days are going to be amazing no matter what. And yeah, it's really enjoyment that keeps us coming back. I wouldn't keep doing this. I wouldn't keep paying this much for cruises if I didn't love doing
it. Sure. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. Are there any particular cruises that you've done that stand out above the rest? Like any that you say, like, that was a cruise that was amazing. One of my favorite cruises that we've ever done, or, you know, are they all, you like them all equally? Are there any that stand out to you? And I guess, why do they stand out to you?
Yeah, they sometimes they stand out because of who I'm with, you know?
Okay.
And like, it can just be the most normal cruise, you know, the 4-night, 3-night, whatever it is, to Nassau and Castaway Key, which we've done 100 times, and it's fun because of who I'm with. But as far as sometimes it's great because of itinerary. And so as far as itineraries that I have loved, Norway always jumps out at me. Loved Norway. It's kind of Alaska on steroids a little bit. It's a similar experience to Alaska, but with the land on both sides, a lot of the time, the fjords that you're going down, the scenery that you're seeing while on board. It's so different from a Caribbean cruise when you look out and you see the ocean, which is beautiful in its own way. But when you look out and you're seeing these cliffs and everything beside that you're sailing by, really amazing. So we love Norway. We loved Greece. Greece is a great cruise too. It's just the cities that you stop in are beautiful.
Yeah.
And I also think of cruising as a good way to preview a city. Like, you go somewhere and you're like, oh, I want to go back to there. You know, our first time we went to Mykonos, we said, oh, we need to go back to here and spend more time. You know, it's a good, and then other cities you go and you're like, okay, that was fun, but I'm good. And so it's a great way to preview places. British Isles was spectacular as
really?
Well. It was the first one was a 12 night that they did, and we had so many really neat cities. So we really, really enjoyed British Isles too.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that about the sort of the previewing the cities, because I've always said that's one of the reasons that we really like cruising is because it gets you, you know, a flavor of these different locations, and you get some, you know, you get to experience the culture and the food and the people. And like you said, if you find a place that you really like, maybe you decide, well, we need to come back here and spend a week here, or, you know, a long weekend here. And if you don't care for it, then, you know, you experienced it and you can move on. So I completely agree with you. I think that's a great reason to try a cruise if you've never done one before. Do you have any cruises left on your bucket list? Like, any experiences that you haven't had that you still want to do?
Been Australia yet. So I'm really excited to try that at some point here in the next couple of years. And I'm really excited to go to Singapore when the adventure sails.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see Singapore. So, yeah.
Okay. So recently you had the chance to visit the Papenburg shipyard in Germany while, you know, the treasure is obviously being built there. What was that tour like? And I guess, what was it like to see a Disney ship in its construction state? I think that is just the coolest, one of the coolest experiences that you could have. Like that's to me is high up on my bucket list to be able to do something like that. What was that experience like?
It was a huge bucket list for me too. I've always wanted to see a ship in the shipyard. And I tried back when the Wish was about to be delivered, and it's tricky because I wanted to wait, you know, it's there for so long, but I wanted to make sure it looked like a ship before I went. I didn't just want to see pieces of the ship, you know? So the timing was tricky, and with the Wish, especially since everything was delayed because of COVID, I emailed the cruise yard in, when did the Wish sail out? Well, I emailed them and I said, hey, I wanted to know if you had started tours again. And because they paused them for a while. And they came back and they said, yes, they had. And I said, would I be able to see the Wish on the tour? And they said, only if you get here in the next 3 days. Because it was about to sail out a lot sooner than I had expected.
Right, right. And
so I said, oh, okay, I missed that. Although it does sit outside on the shipyard for quite a while. But I missed that. So I said, the treasure, I am absolutely going to figure out a time to do it. So I was going to Amsterdam anyway. And this is the perfect time. It looks like a ship. I'm going to add this on. And so I went with an agent of mine. She flew over there really just for that. She was excited about that as well. And we did a German tour, and I don't know if they've restarted their English tours. They had not the last time I checked. So we did a German tour, and I didn't think that would bother me. I said, I just want to see it. I don't care. But and I actually lived in Germany for a few years as a child, so I know a little bit of German. So I thought, I'll be fine. But there were several times he was talking where I said, wait, see, I want to know. So as long as you know that you're not going to understand everything unless they restart the English tours. There's a big buildup to before you get to see the actual ship and you see the different ways it's tested in water. We saw there's one room full of ship models of all different lines that they've built there at Papenburg. And we saw a little movie beforehand and everything. But boy, when you come around the corner and you see that it's just a wall of windows with it sitting there, it takes your breath away.
Oh, I bet. Really cool.
It takes a good amount of time to stand there and look at it and look at all the details and everything. He was talking. I'm not sure what he was saying that whole time. But even if he'd been speaking English, I may not have been paying attention. I was so excited to see the ship sitting there. Right. And so we got to really study some of it and, you know, oh, look at that. That looks done. Or, you know, that looks the exact same. And it was a really, really neat experience.
That's really cool. I'd love to be able to get over there sometime and do that. Were there any pieces of the Destiny in the shipyard? And maybe you weren't even aware at the time. I don't remember the exact timing, but were there any pieces of the Destiny inside?
There were. And we saw a few things that we were like, oh, I wonder if that is the unnamed. It was unnamed still at that point, the new ship. And we tried to ask at one point, we came by and we definitely saw something like, oh, I think that's definitely it. And we tried to ask, but he did not know what we were saying. And so we didn't get confirmation until about, they did the keel laying ceremony. Oh, just probably a week later. It was
quick, I thought. Yeah.
So we definitely did see it. I have some pictures of pieces of it. And so we saw it. We're positive that's what we were looking at, but we were pretty sure. And they also have a nice little gift store at the end where I got a really neat little photo album or photo book of some of the things they've done there and everything, all related to Disney.
Oh, wow. Really cool. Would you consider going back if they resumed the English tours, or was it, you know, you kind of had the experience and that's seeing the ships was that's what you wanted to see? Like if they offered the English ones, would that be a motivation to go back, or, you know, you've kind of had that experience?
Probably go back either way. I probably wouldn't, since I've done it, I wouldn't make quite as big of an effort. You know, I wouldn't go over there just for that. But I, unless if they did have the English tours, that would definitely tempt me more. But if I was anywhere where it worked out, I was within a few hours, you know, train ride from Papenburg, I would absolutely go back.
Got it. Okay.
We tried. We were very curious about the Adventure as well, because it's being constructed in or redone in Germany as well. But they really have no tours to speak of up there at that different. It's a Meyer Werft as well, right. But no tours there. Or I would have, you know, checked them both off right there.
That would have been amazing. Yeah, that would have been really cool, because not a whole lot is known about, you know, the construction of that. So that would have been really fun. So I, as you are aware, it's a really exciting time to be a fan of Disney Cruise Line right now. You know, there's a lot of new things coming and new things planned. What are you most excited for as it relates to the future of Disney Cruise Line?
I am really excited about the Treasure. I love the Wish. I love the Wish class ships. I feel like at first, people had a hard time with it because they were so, longtime Disney fans had a hard time with the Wish, and some still do. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of longtime Disney fans that we know that had a hard time with the Wish just because it was so different and, you know, from the other ships in some ways. And the more they went on, the more they realized, oh, okay, actually, this is a beautiful ship. And it is different, but it is a beautiful ship. And it was funny to us because first timers who had never done any Disney cruise before stepped on the Wish and was like, this is the greatest thing.
Right.
You know? There was a real divide between the two.
Yep.
So I love the Wish, and I'm excited to be able to spend 7 nights on, you know, that class of ship and get to really feel like I can relax and spend a lot more time, not just running around seeing everything and enjoying it while I'm on for a short time. I'm excited about the longer itineraries.
Absolutely. I am also, and it's funny you say that about feeling different, because that was probably yours as well. My initial gut reaction when I first stepped onto the Wish is, wow, this is really different than what I'm used to. And I think on the first cruise that I did, which was a preview cruise, I came off of that feeling kind of like, I don't really know how I feel about this. And then I brought my family on board, and my kids just absolutely loved the Wish. And I really came to love it as well. And it's like I find myself wanting to be back on the Wish class ships. And so you're right, as Disney, longtime Disney cruise fans, like it's gonna feel really different. But I think in a good way, and it's something new and exciting. So I'm really excited for the Treasure as well. Lighthouse Point, Lookout Key. What are you excited for as it relates to Lookout Key? Like just a new place to visit? Like what excites you about Lookout Key?
I'm super excited that they have a second private experience, a private destination to go to. I'm really, you know, just to change it up, and really excited about that in general. I trust Joe Rohde implicitly. He's his track record, we cannot question. He
totally
does amazing
agree.
Things.
Yep.
And so I cannot wait to see it, you know, just not too long, just a few weeks here. And I've heard there are some surprises in store, you know, even though we feel like we know so much already, there's still some surprises. So I can't wait to see how it's different and how it's the same as well. Because I love Castaway Key. I wouldn't be sad about a carbon copy, but it's clearly not going to be a carbon copy.
Right.
So
yeah, no, so that's exactly how I feel about it as well. I'm excited for something new, and I always, you know, something new for Disney Cruise Line to offer us is always exciting, whether it be a new ship or a new destination or a new port of call. Like I get excited about new things to experience. So that's probably what I'm most looking forward to as it relates to Lookout Key. You mentioned plans for the Treasure next year. Do you think will you be on the maiden voyage in December?
Cannot do the maiden voyage, which just gut wrenching because I love maiden voyages. Cannot, just Christmas week, it's just too hard. I just can't, with family and everything, we just couldn't all commit to it. So I'll be on a couple weeks later.
Okay.
In the beginning of January, maybe a preview cruise, we'll see. And then in September, I'm going back on with the ladies that I mentioned that I cruise with every year. And we have booked the funnel suite.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Oh, my goodness.
It's much better to split it with 8 friends. It's much more. I'm not saying it's reasonable, but it's much more reasonable. And so a whole week in the funnel suite.
Oh, my goodness. That'll
incredible.
Be amazing. Wow. That'll be really incredible. That's awesome. What are your thoughts on the Christmas maiden voyage? I It just seemed very surprising to me that they would roll out this brand new ship, get people all excited about it, and then, you know, the diehard fans who are the ones presumably who would be, you know, be wanting to pay the premium to go on these on this maiden voyage, can't do it because it's, you know, it's over the Christmas holiday. And I was very surprised and like you, very saddened because, you know, the Christmas holiday, I couldn't get my wife to sign off on that. As much as I wanted to do it, you know, she's like, Christmas is, you know, for staying local and being with family. So what were your thoughts on them doing it that way?
I was surprised. I was arguing beforehand, like, no, it's not going to be Christmas week. Same. No, despite what the calendars look like, I said, there's no way. Because they can already charge a premium for Christmas week. It's already expensive to cruise Christmas week.
Right, right.
And they sell it out. They don't have any problems. So there's no reason to do that the same week. They should do that a different week, and they can have premium pricing for two different weeks.
That's right.
And then shocked.
I know.
And sad. Shocked and sad.
Yep.
And my only reasoning for that, or the only thing I can think of, is that somehow they had to. Somehow, right, with the port calendars, they just, that's that. They had to.
Yep, they didn't have a choice.
But I am praying that they do not do that.
Same, yeah, same.
On a similar track, so I hope they don't do it again, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I was supposed to go on the original maiden voyage of the Wish, and as you know, that got, you know, delayed,
right,
several weeks, and I unfortunately couldn't do the new dates, so I, you know, that was a huge bummer for me, and now I can't do the Destiny Maiden Voyage, so I'm just like, please let me be able to get on the Maiden Voyage for the Destiny, so we'll definitely keep an eye on the dates for that. Hopefully those work out. So I mentioned the Destiny before, or we were talking about the Destiny. What were your thoughts on kind of what we know about the Destiny, the theme, the characters that they've shown, and then I guess just some of your expectations for that new ship?
I think the theme is brilliant. Heroes and villains can appeal to so many different people.
Totally agree.
So I think it's brilliant. I think I love seeing the characters dressed up in different, as different characters, you know, Star Wars characters, Marvel characters, whatever, you know, over the years we've seen them dressed. I love that. So this is a great opportunity for things like that. I do think some people, I think, were disappointed that the Treasure is so much like the Wish, but they're sister ships.
Right.
And I fully expect the Destiny to also be very similar, with its own touches and with it, you know, the different theme, of course, the different decor, the different touches inside. When the Dream and the Fantasy came out, the Dream and the Fantasy are sister ships, of course. And the Dream came out, you know, everyone loved it, but there were some things that it could have done better. The Fantasy came out the same basic ship, but they did take some things that they learned and improved.
Right.
And like Satellite Falls, I think they did Satellite Falls, yep, in the Fantasy. They realized, I think Disney thought that like the Aqueduct would take so many guests, you know, onto that they wouldn't need as many pools. And then as soon as the Dream came out, they said, oh no, we still need a lot of pools.
Yeah, right.
So they added Satellite Falls, yeah, you know, they added, yeah, some other little. And so I think there's a potential for the Treasure and Destiny both,
yeah,
to learn from the Wish, where it's still the same basic ship. Some of the same restaurants, of course, some things like that. They're going to take some things,
yeah,
and learn from them and make them a little better. Tweaks.
I think that makes total sense. And I hope that is the case, because certainly there are some things with the Wish that they can improve on based on guest feedback, or, you know, just how people use the spaces or whatever. So that'd be amazing, because you're absolutely right. It's going to be the same ship, you know, layout and, you know, designs and experiences for the most part, but if they could tweak a few things just to learn from past, you know, things that they did in the past, that would be amazing. So we did get, you know, some hints about maybe what characters would be involved, and I know you saw the cartoon that they released with, you know, had the hallway, and on the doors there were these symbols, and everyone's, you know, trying to figure out what those symbols mean. You know, one of them was what appeared to be the Haunted Mansion wallpaper. There were some, you know, Avenger, you know, Marvel superhero logos. There was, you know, presumably a Skull and Crossbones, maybe Pirates of the Caribbean. And then, you know, this image of Edna Mode. So I guess my question is, a lot of those themes or characters are already characters and themes on the Treasure and the Wish. you know, you think of Worlds of Marvel, the Incredibles, Incredizone?
Incredicourse,
that's it. Thank you. Yes, thank you. How would you feel if they, you know, if they, let me rephrase it this way. On the Dream and the Fantasy, you have the same restaurants on the two ships. The restaurant in the main lobby has a different name, but it's, for all intents and purposes, you know, they're the same restaurants. Right. If they do the same restaurants on the Destiny, on the Treasure, on the Wish, like, do you think that is kind of a missed opportunity? Like, they'll most likely change the one, you know, it's Arendelle on the Wish, and it'll be Coco themed on the Treasure. They'll probably change that one. But if Worlds of Marvel and 1923 are the same, and then, you know, things like that, if they stay the same theme, like, if they potentially put a Haunted Mansion themed space on the Destiny, like, do you feel like that's a missed opportunity, given the fact that Disney has such a massive portfolio of characters and stories that they could use?
It would be amazing if they changed all those up on every ship. I think we've seen from the past that they don't, you know, like the Disney and Fantasy, I mean, the Dream and Fantasy, like you mentioned, that they won't change up all of them. And it does seem that they're going down the path of always having 1923 and some version of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And then changing the third restaurant. But boy, yeah, it'd be great if this was totally different, if they did something different for everyone. I think when the Treasure map came out, it had, and we were all guessing at what was going to be on the
that
Treasure
was awesome,
from that
by
map.
The way.
Yeah, it was. It was. There were some things on there that we were like, oh, well, that's already, you know, they're already using this, But some of them they are using in different ways,
sure,
than they used. So maybe that's why we're seeing some of the, yeah, same things, because they're going to be used in totally different ways. But we'll see. I mean, yes, I would love all new things. Do I think it's realistic? No.
Yeah. Right. Right. And just as like a fan, or, you know, someone who spends a lot of time on, you know, with Disney related products and experiences, like, why do you think that is? Do you think it's a money thing? Do you think it's a time thing, a resources thing? Like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that they can't make these all completely different. And seemingly it would be easier to sell something that's really different. You know, you have this experience over here, and then if you go to a new ship, yes, it's cruising out of the same port, but completely different offerings. And so, I don't know, to me, it seems like probably a cost thing, where it costs money to change things. That's probably the underlying factor, but just curious if you had any other thoughts.
No, I mean, I think money would certainly be the biggest factor, because it's much cheaper just to recreate than it is to create something totally new. I think it's probably also a little bit of familiarity that, you know, if something's really popular, you know, why did we get Tron? We got Tron here because people loved it,
yep,
you know, in Shanghai. And so there is some of that, that when things are popular, they don't want to rock every boat, you know, so to speak. They want to change some things, but not everything,
sure,
to make sure you still are coming back for some of your favorites. But is money a huge factor? Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. So just thinking ahead to the adventure, what do you think with I don't want to say a clean slate, because they didn't build the, you know, the ship from the ground up, but they basically have a new template to use that they have never worked with before. So in your opinion, what would the adventure have in addition to what these other ships have that would just say, like, this is an amazing success for, you know, for Disney Cruise Line? This is an amazing product that you're offering.
I am really excited about the adventure because it is a totally clean slate, like you said. And I happened to be on board when they announced the name of the adventure and some other things that day. And I was talking to some of the crew, and there was just a palpable excitement about the adventure. And it was really just because no one knows what to expect, I think.
Yeah, right.
they know what the ships are basically going to be like, but the adventure, I mean, who knows? And so some of the things that we've heard, you know, everyone is wondering, is there going to be a casino? Is there not going to be a casino? Because Disney, that's
right,
certainly not their thing.
Right.
But in that market, that's much more common. You know,
yeah,
they enjoy casinos in that market. And so, but does the love of Disney in that market outweigh their need for, you know, something that isn't typically Disney, like a casino? So, and then I've heard that the concierge is, they're going all in on concierge from everything I've heard.
I bet, yeah.
I mean, like a huge concierge presence, huge lounge and number of concierge rooms, but also like its own restaurant. So much to the point that it could be like a total, you could kind of shelter yourself in there and never even really experience the rest of it. Which would be interesting if Disney did that as well. I could certainly see them trying that. I'm also very interested to see how well it does. It's committed to Singapore for 5 years. So, I would assume it's going to do very well. If it doesn't, do they bring it back over here?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not completely going to match up with the other ships. Certainly not if it has a casino, although they could take that out.
Right.
I'm really excited to, and it, you know, it's next year. That's crazy too. The limited amount of information we have for a ship that is sailing next year is crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, if all goes as planned, the last of this kind of new phase of Disney Cruise Line will have all the ships sailing by the end of the calendar year 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so, it's 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. So where do you think Disney Cruise Line goes from there? I mean, do they kind of retire the older ships and sail with the new fleet? Do they add more ships? Like what are your thoughts on kind of where Disney Cruise Line goes from here?
I love the classic ships. You know, that's good Disney speak for the older ships. I love the classic ships, and they but they are getting old.
Yes.
And they are the age where most ships are, you know, are being retired, not, you know, not getting new itineraries and new things added onto them. But they're classic and people do love them. So, I mean, but I think we reach a point where at some point they have to be retired. So yes, I do think we're going to have some new ships coming. I don't know how soon. You know, Disney has surprised us with some announcements of ships. So they could surprise us anytime with announcements of ships. But you look at someone like Royal Caribbean, who has 20 something ships. I mean, and eight is nothing compared to that. And so, yeah, I think they definitely have the possibility for more ships. There's also a chance, could they dive into other markets like river cruising? You know, they charter on the waterway ships for river cruising now, but would they want to build their own river cruise ship? I mean, you know, maybe it's much more cost effective just stick with chartering, but boy, people would be excited about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I love river cruising as well. I would. Expedition cruising is so hot right now. Is there a possibility they would do their own expedition ship and not charter others again? You know, I don't know. It's exciting to see what's coming.
It really is. Yeah. It's exciting to think about. And it's crazy to think that we're nearing the end of kind of this new phase, because I remember when they initially announced, you know, two new ships and then they surprised us with a third one, like all the excitement around that. And it's hard to believe that we're already, you know, nearing the completion of that plan. So it'll be exciting to see where they go from here. Just a couple more questions for you. So you mentioned you've done other cruise lines. What do you think Disney does well compared to other cruise lines? And then on the flip side, how do you think Disney could improve to kind of, you know, keep up with what other cruise lines are doing?
Disney does, one thing they do really well is I think they make every guest on board feel important and feel special in some way. And I have sailed in, you know, concierge rooms. I've sailed in the cheapest of rooms, you know, they're all across the board. And I've never felt like a second-class citizen when I was sailing in an ocean view room, say. And I think Disney does a really good job of that. You know, you're on the ship, you matter. And the crew remembers your names. You know, people, I can barely remember names of people that I met 2 weeks ago. And the crew will have seen you 2 years ago. And immediately they reckon, you're like, oh, you know, what were you last time? It's stunning. And they just do a really good job of making you feel special no matter what. It's also a luxury product in a lot of ways without feeling stuffy. You know, you can still feel okay, walk around in shorts, you know, things like that. It doesn't feel stuffy, but I still feel like I'm being treated really well. It is, what was the third thing you asked me?
How could they improve, or what could they do to sort of keep up with what other cruise lines are doing with their new innovation and you know, new ships and all that stuff?
I mean, price is always a sticking point with Disney.
Yep.
It's expensive. I do believe you get what you pay for, but it is expensive. And so especially the price jumps from some categories. Like, you know, in Alaska, I can get an Ocean View room for a pretty comparable price to a lot of other lines. But boy, when you see the jump to veranda and the other lines jumps to veranda, it just doesn't. So I would love to see some more reasonable pricing for some of the higher categories, especially and on certain itineraries even more. And new itineraries, you know, new destinations to visit. They're limited because they don't have as many ships as other places, but it would be great to have some new itineraries, new destinations at least, new ports.
Gotcha. I agree with all of those things. So just to wrap up here, I mentioned at the very beginning of the show that you were recently named the author of the unofficial guide to the Disney Cruise Line book for 2025, which is congratulations, by the way. That is an absolutely, you know, amazing accomplishment. What, you know, give us your thoughts on having the opportunity to write the next version of this book that, you know, so many people read and rely on. Like, what are your thoughts on what excites you about this opportunity?
It's a dream come true for sure. I mean, I have read unofficial guide books for 30 years. I have loved the series for as long as I can remember. And it's stunning to me that I'm going to see my name on the front of one of them. And when they started writing the cruise version about 10 years ago, I was lucky enough to be able to contribute just some small things. And even just having a little small mention inside the book was
pretty cool.
This is so exciting. It's my favorite book series and my name's in there. Yeah. And Aaron and Lynn have done such a great job with
Absolutely.
It. And it's really, they turned over a great product that it's much better than having a bad product turned over to, you know, try to make it better. And so I am excited about putting my own spin on it, adding some things to it. I feel like one of the things people are really looking for when they book a cruise, especially first timers, are the two biggest things we get asked about are probably staterooms. What kind of stateroom should I have? And what should I do in ports of call?
Yep.
So I'm really spending a lot of time trying to beef up those sections and add some more insight into some of those places that I've been and some of the rooms that I've stayed in and have seen. So those are the biggest things that are coming out. It's my version is due pretty soon. It surprises me. Well, I guess it doesn't really surprise me, but boy, we have to turn it over to the publisher and everything else a lot sooner than it comes out. So can we get all the Disney announcements now before I turn it in? You know?
right. Yeah. Do you feel any anxiety about it? Any nervousness? Like, is there a weight to it, or is it, you know, you're just kind of take it for what it is and it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, is there anything that makes you nervous about it?
So it's a ton of excitement, but there's also a weight to it. I wanted to do justice to the guide and how it's always been. And, I want to make my own version of it as well at the same time and make it feel like it was worth it for me to, take over instead of someone else. So there's a weight to it for sure, especially as we're coming down here to the finish line for it. Thankfully, we get to visit Lookout Key a couple of times before.
Oh, perfect.
It goes to press. So that will be a big section of the book because there's going to be so many questions about that as well. So, yeah. So I'm nervous that right after we send it to the publisher, something big is going to be announced and it will change a bunch of the things that I put in there. But the most nervous I am about anything.
Yeah.
But I do want to make sure I do a good job with it. So.
When, approximately when can we expect it to be, you know, available? Do you have a sense of that at this point?
So usually the last week of November or the first week of December.
Okay. So kind of similar timeline as when they've been released in the past. Very good. I'm really excited, you know, for that book to come out and to be able to, you know, just to see your spin on it. Like you said, they, you know, Aaron and Len did a fantastic job. As an experienced and avid Disney cruise fan, like you always learn something new about from the books, and they're fun to just flip through and you know, you're always finding something new that you didn't know before. So Yeah, congratulations again. That is that's absolutely amazing. So, Tammy, that's it for the questions that I had. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences and your insight. This was a lot of fun for me. And like I mentioned at the beginning, you can follow Tammy on Instagram at Cruising with Tammy. Posts a lot of really amazing pictures, and I really enjoy following along while you're on your cruises. That's a lot of fun. And best of luck in your upcoming travels, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Wes.
Thank you. As a reminder, you can connect with the show by following along on Instagram or Twitter at the DCL Dude, or by liking the show on Facebook at facebook.com/DCLDudePodcast. You can also check out my blog at thedcldude.com. Please feel free to reach out with questions or ideas for future show topics, and I'd be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Beyond that, if there's anything I can do to improve your listening experience, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening.